sergeant over there, keep him. Okay. Good evening and welcome everybody to our regular meeting of the Oceano Community Services District on Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. And we'll have roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Joyce Sonnison?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Rose?
Here.
And Director Gibson?
Here.
President.
Okay, let's flag salute. Kim, do you want to lead the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, any directors want to make a change on the agenda? Okay, then.
Nothing.
Nope.
I'll entertain a motion to continue the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, first and second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sonnison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, and we'll have legal counsel comment on closed session.
Yes, prior to tonight's meeting, the board met in closed session to discuss one matter. The matter was whether to initiate litigation. No action was taken under the Brown Act that requires reporting.
Thank you. And now we have public comment for things not on the agenda. And seeing no one come forward, we'll close public comment. Okay, special presentations and reports. Okay, and first we'll have Sergeant Commander, I'm sorry.
Good evening, Commander McDaniel for the South County Sheriff's Office at the Oceano Substation. For statistics, in May, we had a pretty significant decrease in calls for service. Last year was 361, and this year was 251. Only four assault and battery calls, one misdemeanor, just one person versus another. The other three were domestic violence calls, 32 disturbance calls, five suspicious circumstances calls, and we had 13 arrests in the Oceano area. Just wanted to address for the 4th of July, we're gearing up. We're obviously going to be targeting for illegal aerial fireworks. Last year, we started the new county ordinance and saw some success in that with going after people for code enforcement violations. We'll be doing the same thing this year. Only thing different is our staffing will be significantly elevated. So last year we had, we're going to have about three times more staff on at this point than we did last year. So a significant uptick in staffing. We'll have cars specifically for fireworks enforcement in addition to our normal B cars. And then we'll have drone, aerial drone in Oceano. And then we're actually trying to figure out if we can get the sheriff's plane up in the air also. We have a Cessna plane with a special camera on the back to, and that'll be for the entire county. So we're still looking at that as a viable option, but we should have probably around, I would say over 18 to 20 deputies in the South County area that night.
Okay, that's great. I think a lot of neighborhoods will be happy about that. Increased staff, okay. Any questions, no. Comments? Okay, thank you. That's kind of cool. Okay, we'll have Mr. Maricino, operations.
Good evening, board. Tony Maricino, utility systems manager. So Lopez is currently at 85.9% full, which is 42,522 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows last month, and we got delivered just over 42 acre feet of Lopez and 15 acre feet of state water. So we're still continuing to do daily rounds, weekly and monthly samples, 10 work orders, 16 USAs, 9 customer service calls, two after-hours call-outs. It was for the same customer. It was a shut-off after-hours so he could make repairs, and about 6 hours later had to call him back out to get it turned back on. We completed meter reading. After meter reads, we had re-reads for highs, lows, and leak notifications. We are continuing to replace meters plus install new meters for ADUs. Cameron cleaned out the lateral at 1830 19th Street at the Boys and Girls Club. It's a severe offset for their sewer lateral. First of the month equipment startups plus alarm function checks. We completed our first round of fog inspections on the restaurants, which is 19 of them, so your fats, oils, and grease. We had a line break at 1611 South Elm that we had to completely replace the service due to the age. Plus, we paved the street back. And previously, I talked about a line break at 1304 16th Street. We also paved that location. Weed abatement at the yard in Well 8. We are still working on fire hydrant maintenance. The jetter did get repaired, that we could sewer jet now. We are still picking up trash with 5311 tickets. And the Well 8 project, we prepped all the pipes and we'll be replacing all the above ground pipes with the new static mixer, new valves tomorrow. Any questions?
No, for me. Anyone else? Okay, I think we're good then.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maricino. And our general manager, Mr. Clemens.
Thank you, Board. Will Clemens, interim general manager. Still trying to get up to speed on issues affecting the district, but trying to focus on the water projects, and in particular, the consolidation project that's happening in Halcyon and the three mobile home parks. So right now we're finalizing the cultural resource report that is part of the environmental package. And that's complete as of today. That project is expected to go out for construction at the end of this calendar year. So hopefully construction will start in January, February-ish, depending on the weather. And that's a great project. And it's all funded by the state. So we've been meeting with the State Water Board staff on issues related to that project. Currently, the design is at 90% complete. So we're getting ready to hire MKN to complete 100% design. It's kind of shifting. The state was paying them directly up until the grant application was submitted. And now it's going to be, since our grant was approved, it's incumbent on the district now to pay MKN, and we'll get reimbursed by the state. So still no money out of our pocket, but just a difference in how the money is flowing. We posted the bid notification for the valve replacement project that you approved last meeting Railroad Avenue. And those bids are due June 26th. So look forward to getting those in a couple weeks. I've been meeting with the county on various issues, particularly with Zone 3. We had a TAC meeting this morning discussing kind of an update on the HCP and the litigation that is taking place. Also in my first month, I met with the county on the Pier Avenue project that they recently completed. And we also had a meeting with the NCMA partners, the Northern Cities Management Area. So that would be the city of Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Pismo. Also, our water bills were just sent out, and in those water bills included our consumer confidence report, as well as the annual rate adjustment notice that's required. So those just went out. And that is the end of my report.
How much water do you anticipate Halcyon using?
I can't say off the top of my head what their usage will be, but the plan is for them to keep their existing well and use that for irrigation.
Right.
And then the potable water would just be used within the homes. So they would use less than the normal amount that a customer would use. And I think we're talking about 58-ish customers in Halcyon, and then the three mobile home parks, which is probably another, I don't know, 30 to 50 customers. So
yeah,
we certainly have plenty of water to serve them. And two of the mobile home parks are currently served by us with water. So it just gets wheeled through Arroyo Grande. So there really is no difference in water usage for those two parks.
Okay, good. Yeah, their water system there is compromised, I guess. Sometimes if somebody uses too much water, people downhill can't use the water for a little while. So, it's antiquated. Okay, but it's, you know, meets all the standards for drinking. I can't remember. I think I had another question, but go ahead.
I don't have any questions.
You guys have anything? Mm-mm. Okay, if I think of it, we'll go back to it. Okay, so now we'll close staff reports. Is there any public that would like to speak on the staff reports? Okay, seeing no one, we will close that and open board of director and outside committee reports. And I'm the first one, and I went to a meeting of the sanitation district, and really all we talked about was the budget. So I don't have any other updates. And the main thing we had to do, we had to make the allocation higher for legal counsel because of the Steelhead lawsuit. So that's kind of unfortunate, but that's what happened. Okay, those are my comments. We have Vice President Rose.
I have nothing to report.
Okay, and Director Austin?
You took care of my sanitation district.
Okay, and Director Villa?
Yes, I attended the June 3rd RAC meeting, which is the Water Resource Advisory Committee. At this meeting, we unanimously approved the proposed budget for 2026 to 2027, and that was $6,388,593. Still anticipating the FEMA and the Cal OES, which is like the Office of Emergency Services for California, reimbursement for about $5 million for the storm damage that was done at Arroyo Grande Creek and Oceano. The district continues to look for grants and reimbursement for labor costs, operation, and studies. And additionally, it does maintain a $3.1 million emergency reserve fund. And the monies, the way that are spent for the budget, it's like 80% of it is labor and 20% is operations. And that's my report.
So I wonder if, I mean, there's a lot of news about FEMA not, you know.
Yeah, so they're not relying on it, but they would really like to have it.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Hopefully.
But they're realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and Director Joyce Sennison?
Nothing to report.
Okay, and is there anyone that would like to make public comment on the Board of Directors committees and outside reports? Okay, seeing none, we will close committee reports and we'll move to the consent agenda items. So, A is review and approve the minutes. B is cash disbursements. And C is approval of a resolution consolidating the district's biennial election with November 3rd, 2026 And trying to get to the end of this. Do you have anything more to say, Mr. Clemens, about C?
No, these are routine items. The resolution consolidating the district's election is something we do whenever one or more of our board members is up for election, and it simply means we don't have to hold the election ourselves, but it can be included in the general election, and the county will run that for us, and then they distribute or charge the costs of the election to the various special districts. So this is something that's typically done. You don't have to do it. You can hold your own election, but no. That would be costly, and we don't have the staff for that.
Right. Okay, thank you for that explanation. So are there any questions from the members or something you want to look at?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the consent agenda items as presented.
I second
and
that.
You just might want to note there's no public for public comment.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to hold that. Okay. Yes, there was no public for public comment. Okay, we have a first and a second.
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President Gibbs?
Yes. Okay, moving to business items. I'll let Mr. Clemens talk about A.
I'll just introduce Ms. Cassiola, and she can give her presentation for the RFP on audit services.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. So today we have an item for consideration, and it is to consider Nigro and Nigro as the district's auditors for the next 3 years. So that would be for fiscal year 2026, 27, and 28. So back at our March 11th meeting, your board approved the request for proposal to go out, and we posted that. That request for proposal closed, and we ended up receiving 7 proposals, all of which have been attached to your agenda. I also have them listed in your agenda on page 45, and then I also posted it here just as a visual. So anyways, these are in order from lowest to highest. As you can see here, Moss Levy and Hartsom, they've been our auditor since 2017. They also proposed. You can see that about the third lowest when it comes to cost. So you can see Harshal here is the lowest, and it's the lowest by about 18,000. When we were reviewing these proposals, I reached out to San Miguel, since they were a part of the proposal, and there was an error. The Harshal has never provided audit services to them. So then I just asked for 3 references. They weren't local references because Harshal and Harshal is from San Diego. Actually, all the proposals we received were from out of area except for Moss Levy, who's been our auditors. You've met Adam and Chris. They've been at our meetings. They're out of Santa Maria. So they're the only local firm that we received a quote from. So I reached out to those agencies to see if Harshal would do in-house testing, which is important because then the auditors can see how we handle receipts. They can test our software in person. They can see how we store documents, which is important for sensitive documents with social securities, people bank accounts, things like that, not just using a remote program to provide the audit. So that's why, after all that research, I am recommending Nigro and Nigro, the second lowest, but they also provide audit services to 2 local agencies, Avila and Templeton, which both gave highly satisfied reviews for them. They also come in and test here physically with the district. So with that, the proposal from Nigro and Nigro for 3 years is $24,000 even each year. You can see the rest of them go up each year except for Nigro and Nigro. And so it'd be $24,000 a year for $72,000 for all 3 years. So with that, if there's any questions about how I chose them or on the particular proposals that maybe stuck out to you, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, I'd like to say I think it's a good idea that we move on to a different audit team, just in case people worry about, you know, that we're just picking one one group and, you know, maybe, I don't know, you know, get suspicious when that happens. So I think this is a good idea to choose someone new.
And Carrie, did you see anything besides the price being more beneficial going with NIGRO, is that how you pronounce it?
That first they come in and test, and when I was talking to Templeton,
as opposed to Moss, Levy, and the ones we had before, they don't come in and test?
Oh no, they came in and tested too.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't reach out to their references because we've used them.
Okay.
Yeah. The real difference was between the lowest, Harshal, they don't come in, they want to do everything remote.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've done your good research on this, and I think I'm very satisfied with your recommendation of NIGRO. And it all looks, it is good to switch from Moss, Levy, and Hartzman, although we had no problems with them, but you know, it's nice to have that change. So I support your recommendation.
Report was very good, thank you. It was very clear. Everything's there, so yeah, I agree. I think we should just move forward with the recommendation.
I agree.
I think we all agree.
Director Joyce Sinison?
Yes.
Okay, so you agree?
I agree, yes.
Okay, we'll open to public comment, please. And seeing no one come forward, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. And do we have any other questions, comments, et cetera?
I'll just make a motion that we approve the recommendation from NIGRO and NIGRO for the 72,000 for the 3 years, not to exceed 24,000 in a year.
I second that.
Okay, we have a first and a second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's good. Okay. Okay, and a hearing item. Item A, and is this yours, Carrie, to get through?
Thank you. President Gibson, members of the board, in item 10A, we have prepared the fiscal year 2026-2027 preliminary budget for your consideration. So your board considered the draft preliminary budget at the May 13th meeting, and you also provided staff direction to bring back the same budget with no changes. And just as a reminder, this won't be our last time seeing the budget. We are also tonight setting the public hearing for the final budget to be August 12th. So that's after we've closed out the current fiscal year we're in, and we get to adopt the final budget with the reserves because we know how this year ended. So that'll be a part of our consideration at the end. So this budget was fairly prepared. You've heard this last meeting, but since this is the public hearing, I'm gonna go quickly, but through the same information, just in case those who saw our notice are tuning in. So this budget was prepared fairly consistent with the current year's budget. Most of the changes you see are in our water fund and wastewater fund, and that's because we held that Prop 218 public hearing last June and to raise the rates for the next 5 years. So I'll have a slide for each fund where we will review the revenues, the expenditures, and any differences from last year, and any significant items. And also feel free to stop me on a certain fund or anything.
Sure.
Okay, so we're gonna start in our general fund, which is where we begin with the administrative fund. As you know, the administrative fund is where we allocate out all the costs to run the office, provide services to all the enterprise and general fund. All those costs are then allocated out to the other funds. And I didn't make any changes to the admin allocation this year. It's the same as last year. So just a reminder of what that is. 1% of our costs go to lighting. Another 1% goes to parks and rec. Facilities receives 1.5% of those costs. Water receives the most, 60%. Wastewater receives 32.5%, and solid waste receives 4%. Expenditures that have gone up that look different than last year, salary and wages go up 3.4%, and that's based off our memorandum of agreement with the union. That also covers the new health insurance benefit cap, so the amount that you pay for employees' insurance is going up. The increase in rent to this building to the county is also going up by 3.4%. And then we also, just like you approved the election expense, we'll pay our cost of the election to the county, so we have a line item there for the November election. Next in the general fund is our lighting fund. This is our fire fund. I showed our fire fund. Obviously, we don't have a fire fund this year. But last year, I was just showing we paid off the rest of our CalPERS unfunded accrued liability, and this year we will not, so that's a zero. So now we're in lighting fund. So lighting fund is going up slightly, and that's just in supplies and services, and that for any light poles that get damaged. Our Parks and Recreation Fund, this was presented to the Oceano Parks and Rec Committee at our May 5th meeting, and that committee supported our 5% increase, so it's only about $900 that's going up for a total of $17,000 for the Parks and Rec budget. The next one is facilities. So revenues in the facilities fund, all we get is about $12,000 for the village group down at the old fire station. And then we also have allocated reimbursement, utility reimbursements for of $17,000 from the county. So we have to cover charges over at the building that we own over here and rent out to the sheriffs for no rent, but anything that we spend there, we have to then get reimbursed up to $17,000. So what you see in revenues is then canceled out by what we charge or what we have to pay for expenditures. Okay, now we're into the enterprise funds, our first enterprise fund. So this is the water fund. You'll see revenues are projected to increase about 8%, and that's based off our water rate study that we adopted back on June 11th, 2025. One new one item under expenditures is now we're allocating $265,000 to capital improvement projects, and that's also based off the water rate study that we adopted. So that's bumped up more than we used to allocate in the past. Another line item that we've bumped up is our Lopez Water Supply. And that's for the litigation for the Habitat Conservation Plan and the litigation related with that. So inside the Zone 3 budget that is budgeted in our budget, they've allocated money towards that, but we've also added an increase of 60 just in case anything.
Can you read the number? Because I can't see.
Oh, yeah, for the actual Zone 3, you want the actual Zone 3 number? I want to say it's like 600,000. I know the flood control budget included about 530,000 for the HCP litigation. We only pay 6% of that, right? But that's their total budget that all the cities and us pay. So that's for the litigation. But our 6.69%, I want to say, is like 670,000 for Lopez, and that's also adding 60,000 in case we need more litigation. Okay, in case they come back, because that's what's happened in last year. Mm. Yeah. Any other questions on specifics in the water? Okay. All right, next in the wastewater fund. So the wastewater revenues, you can see they're going up by a lot. That's based off of our wastewater rate study we had at our June 11th meeting where we held the Prop 218. And then we've also, as the rates go up, we have included a new line item, which we've never really had in the past, but a capital improvement project line, and that's for $330,000 in the wastewater. And you'll also see under debt services, we have a new line item for the new Vactor. And both those numbers come from our sanitary sewer capital improvement plan that we adopted back in 2025. Our solid waste budget, you can see here it's going up in revenues. That's because, as you guys remember, we increased our franchise fee payments from 5% from South County Sanitary Services to 10% last year. Also, South County Sanitary Services increased their rates 5.13%, so all the customers there will be increased for their trash services. Under expenditures, we included funds of about $11,000 for the Adopt-A-Can program. That's because two people participated last year, and we're hoping we get two more this year. Then in the equipment fund, this is funded through the water, wastewater, and garbage fund, and it pays for the fuel and maintenance of our vehicles. So you see there, they're going up by about 3% on both sides, three to four. So those are all the funds. A part of this agenda item, we have to adopt a resolution to adopt the preliminary budget, which is attached to your agenda item. We also have to adopt a resolution setting our appropriation limitations. And so from last year, it's pretty much the same, but last year we had to adjust our appropriation limitations. So that means it's the tax sources we're allowed to spend. We had to adjust it for the funds we used to receive for fire, we no longer receive. So you see last year we had a large adjustment of about $1.4 million. This year there's no adjustment, it's the same as we've been doing. But we also have to adopt a resolution doing that. So two resolutions and the budget along with setting August 12th as our final budget hearing. So with that, if there's any questions about a certain line item, certain fund, or anything else, I would be happy to answer them or pull them up.
On this chart here, so it says property taxes, 56,000. That's the amount that we still get, right?
That's the amount we still get.
And what do we do with that?
Yeah, 3.85% of what we used to get, and that is used for lighting and Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what is this other general funds, $36,383?
So that'll be rent that we receive for debt. So that's part of our facilities fund. We get rent from Village Group down there for the old fire station, and then the reimbursements from the county for maintenance over at the sheriff's building.
Okay. And then what's the other water?
Other water would be connection fees, delinquent fees, new account setup fees. Yeah, those would be the main big ones.
All right.
What was the total amount of the property taxes this year?
This year it'll be 56,000 from the county.
But, and then the total with the county? I'm just trying to.
Oh, what? So total, it's about 1.4, but the county gets to keep most of it. Right, we only get 56, yeah.
Okay, 56. Any questions or comments? Okay, we'll open for public comment. And seeing no one come forward, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board for further discussion or questions.
So for me, looking at the budget, everything's increasing. We've increased the water rates, sewer rates, everything's increasing. One of the things looking at this budget that makes me nervous is that we don't have the money coming in like we used to, obviously. So OPARC has not been historically funded in the past, and given the growing cost of everything, I'm really worried about the maintenance on the building and what we have looking forward. We don't have the rent coming in like we used to. Tax property funds basically, I think, need to remain dedicated to the core responsibilities of this department. So prioritizing and maintaining those things, I think, is very important, especially for the citizens of this community. So I'd like to actually remove the OPARC budget and put it back into the general fund. That's my expectation to happen for this. I think we're not doing a service to the community at this point, and we really need to focus on the core services that we have right now with everything else going up in price. It's just my thought.
Okay. Is there discussion on this end?
Well, we did budget for it, right?
Yes, 17,000. Yep.
So I'm not quite following you because you're saying.
Because I'm worried about our general fund, and that 17,000 can be used to put back into our services. If something happens next door, we're only going to get reimbursed 17,000, correct? That's my understanding,
correct,
looking at everything. So if the new air conditioning needs to happen, that's $50,000 right there. So there goes our fund for the year, right? Because we're only going to get 56,000 from taxes. Where else is the money going to come from? So logically speaking, from my point of view, I think the 17,000 that we allocated for OPARC needs to come back to the general fund. So that would be my recommendation. So I don't know if I need to make a motion or further discussion, but
let's discuss. So where, okay, so now the maintenance out here for the cleaning up the weeds in the parking lot.
It looks a mess. I don't know, but.
I know, but where, I'm asking, where do we, who pays for that?
Currently, we've been paying for it, but we're meeting with the county on Friday to hopefully get them to.
Out in front, are they, because this place looks terrible.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Reading the lease, the county is supposed to arrange for this maintenance on this lot that we're not talking about the sheriffs. The county is supposed to maintain the common areas of this lot, which right, they're not doing, and then charge us for basically 60% of those costs. So I'm gonna, Carrie and I are gonna meet with the county on Friday and see if we can offer to coordinate that work and pay for it ourselves, but with the understanding they'll reimburse us for the 40% that is their share, because you know they're not taking care of the maintenance of this common area like they're supposed to. So we're gonna have that meeting on Friday.
And not to change the subject, but can't, they're not doing anything down at the plaza either. So there's a problem there with the water and all that. So is that something you guys can talk to them when you're meeting on Friday about that? Is this Public Works that's coming here?
No,
it's
it
not
public
works.
Works.
It's the admin office, but certainly we can bring it up to
bring
them.
Bring it up because it's full of weeds, and thank God the trees aren't dead, because I was there today and they're not dead. They were dying, because they shut the water off and they shut my water off too. And so then all the little park was dying. So it's all been, Tony turned the water back on. But I don't know what their plan, but are they gonna clean that place up? Trim those trees, the dead fronds and stuff. They should have their, when they go here to the park, they should go put it on their route. That's what they do when they do maintenance of county owned property.
We need to get back on point, please.
Okay. sorry, I just get worked up.
Basically, what Kim is saying is to defund parks.
Yeah,
and
I understand that, but yeah, what I'm not following is the logic. So anything landscaping and anything that breaks down in that building is our responsibility?
Or anywhere here.
Yeah, the way the lease is written for the sheriff's office now, we're talking, is that we maintain that building and then we get reimbursed up to 17,000 in a fiscal year. So anything over 17,000 has to come out of our pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think if I understand, Director Rose is, rather than spending our general funds on other purposes, she wants to keep those in the bank so that if something goes on over there, we'll have money in the bank, hopefully, to repair that. So that's my understanding of what she said.
And I think it's also helps to, you know, understand that most businesses that are, you know, make it profitable and everything, they don't have just 57,000 in their general funds. They probably have a couple hundred thousand. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that because we don't have money. And also the other thing is the last time that the Board of Supervisors met with some of the board, I think Will, I'm not sure if Will was there, but Linda, Charles Varney, and Karen. Well, anyway, there were three of us there. And the Board of Supervisors said, why do you have a parks department when you don't have money to fund your own firehouse? They weren't happy about that. That was Charles's idea. And they said, you know, that's wrong. If you don't have the money for fire, you don't spend it on an amenity. You know, you spend it on something that's necessary. So, you know, I take my point of view from them that, and I always have, that we don't really have the funding to have something, even though, you know, it's wonderful for the kids or whomever.
Well, but investing in the children of the of Oceana.
Well, yes, it is, but it's not like when somebody turns on their water and there's no water or they can't flush the toilet. That's, you know, those are health and safety issues. You know, you're gonna live or die if you don't have water or sewage. So, you know, a park department isn't really necessary, and that's what this board does. We're nuts and bolts about money, about, you know, overseeing financials and, you know, water and sewer. We're not really a, you know, a community entity that covers everything that we would like to cover in Oceano, but we don't have those powers and we don't have the money for them. Okay, no, I'll stop.
Well, what, okay, so what would you picture that you would want to do with that money? Like Parks and Rec, are they meeting? You know, what's going
every
on?
Every other month.
We meet every other month, and we're in the process of putting together a, what is that called? A group, a performing arts group, so that the children can, you know, learn to do some singing and putting on plays and things over at the community center.
And, you know, on the other hand, it's also possible that you could form a nonprofit and be the group, you know, the group behind that, raise some money, and, you know, that's an option. Or, you know, attach yourself to some other bigger group, you know, the Five Cities Men's Club or the Rotary or Elks. There's other programs out there that might assist you with that. But I think this board needs to focus on money and water and sewer and, you know, our mandate.
I think what the Parks and Rec Committee did in the beginning was very great with getting that track done. That was a great project to get finished, and I think.
And the bus trips.
And the bus trips.
That's really nice.
And that was really good, and I don't think, but I can't see just going on, and just like Shirley said, we gotta stick to the nuts and bolts of what we're here for. If we were had a lot of money coming in and everything was fine, it sure would be great. That's why we had a Parks and Rec years ago, and it went away because it just isn't the money to support that. And there's plenty of programs out there that support the kids. And, you know, there's the Boys and Girls Club. I've got two kids over here in Oceano School that they do all kinds of fun stuff with outside the PTA does things, and people give them money. And so this is just like trying to reinvent something that we really don't need to do to, you know what I mean? I understand how you're committed to that, and that's great, but I don't think we have the wherewithal to take care of it now. I just don't. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's just the way it is. The way things are, we don't own this property anymore. We're having to scrimp to pay for the cleanup of stuff, and it's just not right. I just don't think we can keep it, you know?
So for me, looking back, I wasn't here when the original process happened. And you had a fire department, and you had money, and you had quite a bit in general fund looking back, okay? So I understand why at that time it was approved. Going forward, looking at this in a business sense, I'm not comfortable with the numbers we have right now, quite honestly, okay? If I was running a business, this was my business, I'd be very, very upset right now. We've got to get more money back into our general fund. And every penny, every dime that we look at, we need to reasonably think, where are we spending that money and where is it gonna go? $17,000 in a fiscal year, that's nothing if something happens to the building and something happens right behind it. Then we've got another $17,000, $50,000, whatever it is, and we're not gonna get that money back. So my basic foundation is, we can always go back and look at it again, but right now, everybody across the board is looking for money and making budget cuts everywhere. And I think it's our responsibility to look at that and say, where can we cut funds and where can we put money back in? And that's the only thing I see in this whole budget. Everything else is running tight. I've been out to the yard, I've looked at what the guys do out there. Everything is on a tight budget here. That's the only place I can see where we can take money and put it back in the general fund and hopefully keep building on that in the future. Hopefully nothing happens, but we can't guarantee that.
And the other thing we're contending with is the fish lawsuit.
Yeah.
Now, that came out of nowhere, and that's even though our share is much less than Arroyo or Grover, we still have to worry about that.
It's a lot of money that we are going to have to fork out for that lawsuit.
And where's that money going to come from? Basically, the enterprise fund?
Yeah, the water fund would pay for the lawsuit related to Zone 3.
Where does that stand right now? I'm just curious. I thought we were good there.
No.
Budget-wise or?
The lawsuit itself?
The lawsuit itself. Are we still on the hook to pay
We're in the middle. I think our legal counsel can give an update of where they are in the process.
Yeah, they refiled for their second preliminary injunction. We prevailed in the first one at the appellate court. They filed another one. Opposition's been filed to it, and they're waiting for a court hearing on that. So it's still moving through. You do deserve an update in closed session, so maybe we'll do that next month and try to strategize on how potentially Oceano can get out of it.
Thank you.
But as it pertains to our budget item, I think, Carrie, how much did you say you put in additionally into the budget for the lawsuit?
I put in an extra $60,000 on top of what is already budgeted within Zone 3's.
Yeah.
So as far as we know, we have the budget for our share of the costs, but that could change, and if it does, we'll come back to the board.
Yeah, it's up to the courts now, so. Okay, any more comments or?
Well, I just see it, I kind of see it like it's a very small like amount, and we are looking for grants. It's not like we're gonna rely on that money to do much. We're hoping to get grants.
Have you received any grants? Since
the board wouldn't let us keep our grant writer, which was Charles Varney, he was our grant writer, and he was very successful at getting every grant he wrote for. And you stuck us with Sunny Paws, who basically stalks my grandchildren at my house.
That's enough.
stay on point.
And so I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the budget with exception to eliminate the Eagle Park funding.
I'll second. We have a first and a second. Roll call, please.
The only amendment to that is would those funds go into the general fund reserve?
Yes.
Okay. We need to go to public comment first. I'm sorry, I missed that.
Okay.
So we'll open public comment about the Parks and Rec funds. And we will close public comment. And Carrie, we had a first and a second.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
No.
Director Villa?
No.
And President Gibson?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Two items. That motion passed 3-2. And then also, and it was also the other recommendations on that page were part of that motion.
To set August 12th as the public hearing and adopt the appropriation limitation.
I'm sorry, I missed. What?
To set August 12th as our final budget hearing and to adopt the resolution adopting the appropriation limitation.
Yes, I agree.
That's
my recommendation.
Okay,
okay.
Thank
and
you.
I'll second that adjustment.
Sorry, my thought process just went out.
Okay, so that closes action A, so we'll move to action B. Is this, Carrie, is this yours?
Thank you, yes. Okay. President Gibson, members of the board, 10B, we have the public hearing to collect delinquent customer accounts on the next year's property taxes. So a little timeline recap. At our May 13th meeting, we set the public hearing for today. Staff then noticed the customers by certified mail of their amount and of this public hearing, and included our phone number. And we also added a paragraph to that certified mail that stated that even if it is incurred by a tenant, the owner is the one in charge of that outstanding balance. As you know, we had an issue with an owner that didn't believe the tenant balance was there. So those letters went out. We also had to notice in the newspaper, our website, and up front. And this year we had customers from both the solid waste, so South County Sanitation Services, and then we also had water and sewer customers that were delinquent. That list has been attached. Since the notices were sent out, we've had two customers pay their outstanding solid waste bill and one customer pay the district their outstanding water and wastewater bills. But just to let you know, the district on our timeline here, I actually put our timeline. The orange is what we still have to do. For customers that need to pay their solid waste bill, they have till June 15th. We give them all the way up to July 17th because the list isn't due to the county until the 20th. So we try to give them as much time as possible before that list is turned over. So with that, there's a draft resolution for your board to consider after we hear any public testimony. And with that, we will be waiting for customers to continue to come in and pay. And that list will be updated before our resolution is sent to the county on July 20th. So we still have over a month for customers to come in. So with that, if there's any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
How many people got sent last year?
List, I want to say we had about 6 or 7, and garbage had a little more than that. I will count real quick.
So do you think that's roughly the average?
Oh, yeah, this is about the normal amount. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that we give them plenty of time to rectify the matter, so we're trying to do what we can to help.
Yeah, and just to clarify, President Gibson, we have 10 customers, one is paid, so we have 9, and garbage had 11, so they're actually at 9 as well currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me open up public comment. Seeing no one come forward, we'll bring it back and close public comment. And do the directors have any more questions or comments?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we accept this to
approve the resolution.
The list of. Where's the wording?
Approve a resolution to collect delinquent customer accounts on the 2026-2027 property tax bills.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second. We have a first and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Joy Sennison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And Mr. Clemens, hearing item C, district vacancies.
I'll turn that over to Carrie as well.
No worries. Thank you. President Gibson, members of the board, item 10C. So we have the public hearing on the district's vacancies pursuant to Assembly Bill 2561. So just some background, AB 2561 was enacted in 2024, and it requires public agencies to report on staffing and recruiting slash retention efforts. The bill provides that if vacancy rates of any bargaining unit exceeds 20% of the positions, the agency must provide further information. You can see here, as of December 31st, which is the reporting period for this Assembly Bill, we had zero. And the district only has one represented bargaining unit that is called the Service Employee International Union, who represents six full-time positions and one part-time. Nicole Bryant, who is the labor representative of SEIU, and she was notified of this hearing but could not attend, and her correspondence has been attached to this agenda item on the last page of your agenda. So with that, this is the requirement that that SB 2561 asks of us, and we'd be happy to answer any questions. If not, we'll hold the public hearing and open the public comment period and then close it.
So what's the reasoning behind this?
Yeah, I think it's to prevent agencies from budgeting and maybe not fill. Is that what it is? Okay, I was trying to read about
it. And using the money for something else, or nobody wants to commit here.
It had to do with making certain that the unions wanted to know how many spaces were being opened and making sure they weren't being filled by part-time and not being included. And PERS also was having that trouble. I think that was the initial reason why they wanted a yearly to bring it forward and the union to kind of prove these are the open spaces that are open.
So when you do that report, it's December 31st, right?
Yeah.
So is it at the close of that, any positions? So it doesn't matter if the positions
if
open
just,
filled, as long as it's not
if it's
filled.
Yeah, if it's been filled on December 31st,
got it.
It's a snapshot.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are like the seven, they're full-time positions.
All are full-time positions except for one position under SEIU. We have a part-time account administrator. Mm-hmm. The rest are all full-time.
Got it, thank you.
Okay, let's open that to public comment, and seeing no public come forward, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
I say we approve it.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joy Sennison?
Yes.
And Director Villa?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't think you called my name. Did you?
Did I? President Gibson? Sorry.
Yeah, here.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, here works for anything. Okay. Did we receive any written communications?
Nope.
And does anybody have future agenda items? closed session. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Thank you. Adjourn.